Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. I don't have that much energy that I can pay gratitude to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, who has on this blessed night, on this most blessed night, full of blessing, Allah Ta'ala has called us towards His remembrance, towards His dhikr, towards His nearness, even though the qulub of the people, of our qulub, everything, our bodies, our hearts, everything is in the control of Allah. And it's Allah Ta'ala's special grace and mercy that there's a dua-i masura in which Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned for dua that, O Allah, please direct our hearts towards You. So how great a thing that we, with the tawfiq that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, He's given us the ability and capability that we've left all our pastimes in the world, in the dunya, in the night, solely and only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, we are gathered and we're sat down. May Allah accept our sitting. And may Allah Ta'ala give us extreme benefit from our sitting and give us tawfiq and the capability to do good ongoing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Qur'an Hakim, is a verse in the Qur'an in which Allah Ta'ala has stated that all of my makhluk, all of my creation, everyone listens. Everyone hears. Everybody listens. Whether it's a small creature or a big creature, an animal, insan, human being, person who accepts or doesn't accept, believes or doesn't believe, whatever, whoever is the khalq, Allah Ta'ala says that everything that is in the creation, whatever it calls out or it says, Allah Ta'ala says that I listen to that creation. And a special part of creation that Allah Ta'ala selected, especially, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned them specifically here and especially here. So how fortunate will be those people or those creatures or part of creation that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in His Qur'an. And Allah Ta'ala said that especially I listen to this group, this sector of the creation. How great they must be. And for us, those people are, you can say, people who are in distress or have problems and worries. But Allah Ta'ala says that man darra, Allah explains that what is this, the point of this? That I listen to everything and everybody in my creation. I'm from amongst my creation. But those people who have a problem, who are distressed, who have difficulties, who have issues and problems that they are surrounded with, they are stuck in a problem. And nobody asks them or offers them help. And their daily life, there's different things that they're afflicted with. There's no route out of their problem. Mentally they've got a problem. Physically they've got a problem. Spiritually they've got a problem. Their life is full of issues. And the people around them and all the circumstances have given them problems, worries. The whole dunya is full of these worries and issues, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala says that especially this qawm, this group of people, Allah Ta'ala says, I listen more and especially for these people. Why? What is the reason that Allah, why have You selected these people over and above the rest of creation, that You listen more to those who have a problem, an issue? And the reason for this is that when a person has a problem or a distress or calamities are in the life and disasters occurring in the life, and a person gets fed up with people or the dunya and life, then he gets to such a situation that he becomes totally lacking of any hope or any ambition or any sort of light is going to come. He's going, what shall I do now? What shall I do? So the person gets really frustrated and starts to complain maybe, or frustrate, vent his frustration. So what happens? That person gets to such an extreme situation, to such a position that he's extremely distressed, extremely frustrated or upset or sad. And then shaitan, he's looking for such people. Very quickly he finds, well, these people are his permanent customers. This is the mission of shaitan, that he wants to detach the human being from his Rabb and get it close to Shaitan. Astaghfirullah. That when a person departs from this world, the full attempt of Shaitan in his effort is that he wants everybody to depart from the world in the state of kufr, so that they have no iman. His full efforts are that I want to take the iman of the people from their hearts before they leave this world. He tries his best that before this person passes away, I want to remove the iman from the heart of this person. And this is the challenge we have. Allah Ta'ala says this is not a minor competition. We need to be alert, awake, always for the challenge. Till the final moment, till my last breath comes out, I am challenging and opposing Shaitan. And Shaitan says, leave him on. He'll speak to you, whisper in your ears, give you proofs and dalils and attractions and temptations. And that's where the human being then, all his life long, his efforts, they come in use. How did he pass his life? Did he have the link with Allah? Did he have the connection with Allah? How much did he strengthen his iman, or she strengthen her iman? And how much did we strengthen it all through the life? And how much love did I have for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Amali love, not from the tongue, not verbal, physical, not the nifaq, not the hypocrisy muhabbat, the hypocrite's love. The love I've said, it drops through into the heart and it's physically demonstrated from the body. This is the love that Allah Ta'ala is asking for. That's what comes in use at the time when Shaitan challenges us. And it may not be that we didn't try in our lives to practice properly and we didn't prepare for the challenge. Don't think, don't be under this false pretense that we cannot be attacked by Shaitan. Yeah? We say, oh, it's okay, it doesn't matter what I do. Nobody knows what I'm saying or what I'm doing. And when a person's departing, doesn't matter if those people who are standing around you while you're dying, if they recite Surah Ayat al-Kursi, and they're watching the person who's dying, but the person who's dying, he can see the shaitan's trying to grab him, and he's seeing people around him. And sometimes he says, who's this who's in front of me? What kind of people are there? They've got very bad faces, and they're ugly, and people are passing away. They say this, that who's this in front of me? Who's come? And the relatives think, huh? But it's us. Don't you recognize us? Think for a moment that time of death, what does it depend on? Success at the time of death depends on now, the life we're passing now, the times of health and good times. Like we're sitting here for dhikr, it's a massive, massive ni'mah of Allah. On which basis am I saying this? Why am I saying this? Because when we do dhikr, yes, fine, we will get thawab. That's correct. That's something that we don't have to dispute. But more important than this, that the biggest effect and the best benefit of this gathering of dhikr is that your iman and your yaqeen and certainty will increase automatically. In other words, that we shouldn't come for this niyyah about reward, even if I don't know about the reward, but Allah Ta'ala has put a specific quality and reward that Allah Ta'ala says, kathir, do as much as you can, whenever you can, dhikr. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says that this will benefit you at the time of your greatest need. When a person's iman and his yaqeen is strong, shaitan will not even come close to him. Especially at the time of death, he'll have solid iman and he'll be departing from this world with a solid iman. And he'll have yaqeen. And where will this yaqeen assist us ahead after death? In the grave, this yaqeen will help us. Because the three questions in the grave will be depending on iman and yaqeen. Who is Allah? Who is your Rasul? What is your deen? Only your yaqeen will answer these questions. If we say, oh, the angel will come and I'll answer all the questions, Shaitan's going to try and distract me, I'm going to punch him and let Shaitan come watch me, I'm going to fight him. This is all a drama. Only one thing will help us if you want to be saved. Alhamdulillah, that person, that individual who during his life, from young age, baby to the old age, who strengthened his iman, all the opportunities, the places to go to, the things to do, the events, and all of the opportunities, the man or the woman, he or she practiced their life in the right way, then iman will be stronger than the mountain at the time of death, brothers. So Allah Ta'ala, He's brought us here today. Always Allah brings us to this gathering. So how merciful is Allah and graceful, and He's given us the blessings that He's called us to His dhikr. And Shaitan makes us run away from this. Oh, I don't need to sit here. Oh, it's not important. Oh, it's too long, etc. So everybody who comes to the majlis, Allah Ta'ala has invited us. He has called us in. He's allowed us to come in. Otherwise in the dunya we have issues and problems or argument at home, family issues, family problems, relatives, work. A person's surrounded by this in life. When he has too many, he goes into depression. And some people, they commit suicide when they have so many problems. You get the news sometimes that they were scared, they were afraid, they couldn't confront the issues, so they did something harm to their body and they died. But these are the paths that shaitan chose. But Allah Ta'ala says, if I give you problems and worries, what a beautiful point the Quran has made. Allah Ta'ala says, especially, I listen to everyone in the world. But Allah Ta'ala says, this select group of people who have problems, Allah says, I listen to them more. Now look here. Here, we, for example, and if I have a lot of problems, I've got worries, I've got stress, I'm frustrated, then I take myself into a dark alley and I cry and I get fed up and I give up. But Allah Ta'ala says, the problems you have, the issues you have, the difficulties you have, is all for a reason. Allah says, this qawm, because Allah Ta'ala says, I want to save them from shaitan, so I hear their call. Otherwise, shaitan will make them his customer. What does shaitan do then? He does two things. Either there are two effects of a person when he gives up, when he becomes frustrated. There are two things. Either the person will come out of that circle of frustration and become the wali of Allah and close to Allah, or he will become a rebel. A rebel. And I've seen this in my life, both things. Either the person who's got problems and he gets fed up and dunya issues and he's surrounded from the masail, he comes out of that vicious cycle, that circle of fire, and he becomes a wali of Allah because he turns to Allah for help, or he becomes a rebel and he goes further into darkness. Oh, leave it. What's the point? What's the point of deen? And it's too hard, and he goes into the trap of shaitan. Trap of shaitan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about this in the Quran, that I hear those who've got issues and tasks and challenges and difficulties. Allah says, don't worry. Don't worry, I'll give you the tariqah, the method to come out. So whenever we have a problem or a calamity or difficulty, what should we do, each and one of us? Because each and every one of us needs a solution. So what path should I take when I've got a problem? What solution should I take when I've got a problem? What method do I need to implement to get out of the problem? So Allah Ta'ala has told us in the Quran the path to coming out of the problem. Allah Ta'ala says, one action, one thing for us to do, straightforward. That whenever your circumstances become extremely difficult, what should we do? That create that attachment with Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, what should you do? That with Allah, create the attachment. This word, we have to pay attention. That Allah Ta'ala says, stick to me. Adhere to me. Adhere to me. You got issues, problems, run to the prayer mat and don't run anywhere else. When you have a problem, yeah, Allah Ta'ala says, come to me for the solution. And further, Allah Ta'ala says, that stick to me, adhere to me. But if there's a God apart from me, then go to that God. But if there's one God you have iman in, me, Allah, then come back to me and stick to me, Allah Ta'ala says. Super glue yourself to me and come straight back to your Lord and ask for the solution. And create the connection with Allah. Create the connection with your Lord, who is wahid. And he has given you wahid solution. Whenever you have a problem, calamity, difficulty, predicament, or some conundrum you're in, or confusion, there's no other solution. Allah says, I am your one khuda, one God, illa ma Allah. Allah says, I am ma'bud. I am the one. No one else can give you the solution. No one can help you in time of calamities. No one can give you the way out. And no one can solve your problem. There's one, and that is Allah, who will remove all issues. Whether you're drowning in the sea, you're in a deep part of the water, and you think you're going to pass away, or you're in darkness, you can't find the way out, you got a problem, you're fed up of something in life, take one route, Allah Ta'ala says. One route always is either that. That's it. Allah Ta'ala says, just one route. That link yourself to me, attach yourself to me, stick yourself to me. What a beautiful solution. Straight path, Allah Ta'ala says, tawbah, make amends, repent. When a situation comes in your life, then Allah says, go to the prayer mat, do tawbah, repent if you've done wrong, and then pray salah. Make your salah solid. Don't leave your salah. After tawbah, after repenting, never leave your salah. And leave as much as you can the sins, and run towards salah, and protect your salah, and save yourself from the sins, and do as much dhikr as you can, and go to good gatherings. These are the few points. This is creating the attachment with Allah. This is the meaning of what I just said. Yeah? The friends of Allah, when you start loving the pious people, then consider that you are on the right path. This is a big, big tool. If Allah Ta'ala puts in your heart the love for wali of Allah, then consider that your attachment to Allah has begun. Why? What does this mean? That when you start loving salah, when you love a wali of Allah, you start loving salah. When you love a wali of Allah, you leave the sins. When you love a wali of Allah, you start loving dhikr of Allah, Quran, tilawat, recitation, good gatherings. This is the meaning of the love for a wali of Allah or pious people. There's no negative conclusion of having pious company. Because when you have good company or the wali of Allah or good teacher, then he will teach you the good things in life, because he's a Allah wala. He is the friend of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says, adhere to me, join onto my rope, to my path. Don't run left and right like an animal, like a headless chicken. Allah Ta'ala says, create your link with me. Otherwise, if there's another God, then go and find if you can. Yes, because if he can solve your problem, if he can take away your difficulty, fair enough. But Allah Ta'ala says, you will not be able to solve the problem. You will take tablets, antidepressants, sleeping tablets. To this extent, you say, oh, I want to kill myself. I want to run away. I'm fed up of life. I'll run away from home. Oh, servant of Allah. Oh, sister or brother. Allah Ta'ala says to the people, we should say to people, Allah Ta'ala says directly, then why don't you come back to me? Why don't you come to me? Allah Ta'ala says, I listen to you more. Come to me and see how I hear you. If I don't hear you, I ask you a question. Will I not hear you? Allah Ta'ala says, of course I will hear you. Well, of course I will listen to you. And how does Allah Ta'ala listen? Allah Ta'ala says, you come to me. You create a connection with me. You get close to me. Allah says, I will eliminate all of your problems in life. Doesn't matter how many problems you got. The next day you're going to say, huh? I didn't even have any issues. You'll be smiling and laughing. And every problem will become beloved to you. And whose promise is this? Allah Ta'ala's promise. Does this happen or not? Tell me. Of course it happens. Of course it happens. This is factual, what I'm saying. Let me tell you an event to give you the example, so that your yaqeen and certainty, your base certainty gets strong. Otherwise, so that you know that from today, when I have problems, severities, I will run to the prayer mat, to Allah. I won't need anyone's help. I don't need anyone's help, brothers, sisters. I don't need anyone's help. Just Allah. He will solve my issue. Running left and right, then shaitan's grabbed you. Running after help from dunya, shaitan has grabbed you. Straight go to Allah for help. Hafiz, Hafiz ibn Isakir rahmatullahi, great human being. And he wrote an event that there was an individual and he had a business. And he ran a business in which he had like a donkey, an animal. This is olden times I'm talking. And what did he used to do? That he used to let people travel. Oh, I need to go somewhere from one city to another, from one village to another, or take some goods, or remove the, like, you can imagine a taxi today. Like, we have the minicab or the taxi. It takes passengers or goods or luggage, take a person A to B or things from A to B. So in those days, what was the taxi? It was like the donkey, an animal, automatic. So this was his business. Come, I've got an animal. Put your goods on here. I'll take your goods for you, your luggage for you. I'll take you yourself and transport you. So this was what he did. He had that as a pastime. So a passenger came to him. And obviously, sometimes somebody wants to go to the airport or marketplace, and you'll, if you're a taxi driver, you'll say, oh, customers come. And the further you have to go, you'll be happy, more money. So he had a passenger who wanted to go on a long distance. He said, okay, this is the price. He said, fine, I accept. And it was quite a long journey. He said, okay, I'll go with you. So he put the passenger on the back of the animal. And as they started to travel, they were walking, and the journey, they were going on the journey. And they got to such a place that there were two options, because he was the master. Just like today, the taxi drivers, they know the way. MashaAllah, first class, they know the way how to get you hospital, this path, and you'll go one way and they'll go another way, because they're professionals. They have the route, isn't it? Or the bus driver, he will go to according to his routes. But when the two options came, the fork, so when he wanted to put his animal towards one direction, the animal said, no, don't go this way, I know better than you, and go to this route, go this way. He said, I've never been this way, and you're telling me to go that way. Why are you telling me? He said, I know this is a shortcut. You don't know about the path, the route, that you've got a routine. Go from this route. So he said, okay, fair enough, maybe you know better, that this is a shortcut, so I'll go this way. So he changed the direction of the journey, and as they were traveling, got to a point, the villages are finished, people are finished, population finished, then wilderness area, countryside, like a jungle. And the jungle started, and he was amazed that he's brought me into the wilderness, into the darkness. He said, where's this come from? He said that this is a shortcut, and the jungle and the wilderness has come. And we went a bit further, and he saw some bodies of people. And he was quiet. What's happening here? And he got scared. He's not even asking, what's this? What are we doing here? He said, just wait here 2 minutes. We're just going to stop here for a minute. So what could he do, the journeyman, the passenger? Nothing. So he put the brakes on the transport, and he said that, let's just come and let's walk towards this. And when he disembarked and he took out the knife and his sword, he said, now I'm going to beat you. And when he took out the knife to kill, he started to run. The passenger, he's running, and he was going fast, and he was running after him, and he grabbed hold of the passenger. And when he grabbed him, he was about to kill him. And he begged that that please fear Allah, why are you killing me? That take everything from me, my mal, everything. He said, no, that's mine anyway, but I'm going to hit you anyway. Now there are other people here as well. You can see these bodies, maybe you will try to be saved, so I'm going to kill you and take your mal and take your goods. Subhanallah. That he had yaqeen in Allah, the other person. So suddenly he had a little bit of consciousness, and he writes, the suddenly in his mind came the ayah, the verse, that Allah Ta'ala is the one who listens. Have you not read the Quran? Allah Ta'ala said that I listen to those who are stuck, so call and I'll take you out of the sticky situation. Turn to me and call to me. That was enough. He said, okay brother, listen. When he turned to Allah, because when a person turns to Allah, remember this, you got a big problem, you're stuck, and you don't know what to do, and suddenly you turn to Allah and say, Allah, I want to ask your help. Then look at the quality of Allah. Straight away the Allah Ta'ala's help reaches to that person. Straight away at that point it reaches, sudden, immediate, I tell you from experience, and this is the reality. Immediately when you're in need, desperate, when you turn to Allah and you turn to Allah and do the tariqah to come out of that predicament, that sticky situation, as soon as you think it's a dangerous situation, he's got the knife, he's got it on your body, your neck, and you think, Allah, I'm turning to you for assistance. Suddenly, because Allah is the one who knows best, so why don't I ask Allah who knows everything? Then immediately Allah Ta'ala changes the situation. That same person, when he brought this verse into his mind, I'm stuck, and the best thing for a person who's stuck is to turn to the Lord Allah. Allah says, turn to me, call to me, ask from me. The asal thing, the best thing is this. So when he thought this, after thinking, he said, okay, listen, you're about to kill me. But he wasn't even listening, the person who wanted to murder me. He said, listen, let me pray 2 rak'ah nafil salah. And then he stopped, because Allah Ta'ala's help came. So that person was hard-hearted. He said, okay, fair enough, pray your 2 rak'ah. Okay, now that's it. He needed that lease of life, that little bit of an opportunity. Remember, when a person gets stuck, then you can't see any solution anywhere, all around you. But if within you, you call out to Allah and you pay attention, that Allah, I am stuck, Allah, I need your help, Allah, I've turned to you just like you told me to. Suddenly your situation will improve. The people who are doing dhulam on you, oppressing you, doing bad to you, pestering you, suddenly in their hearts, in their qulub, Allah will instill some mercy. Why? Because the problem you have, the difficulty of the issue you have, everything comes from Allah, doesn't it? All problems, Allah can finish them or keep them going. So Allah Ta'ala says, I want to see you, test you, because this is a test. When a person is stuck in the challenges and the trials of life and the darkness, and when he follows the method, the solution that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed, and he wants to solve his problem, Allah gives 2 conclusions. One is your problem finishes, and secondly, you become the wali of Allah at that time. Many walis of Allah became like this. History will tell us this. Many walis of Allah, not one, two, many, many, many. Just because they had a problem, they were stuck, they followed Allah Ta'ala's advice, how to come out of the problem, and they became the wali of Allah. Not a normal human being. Allah Ta'ala elevates that person, that this is the person who had yaqeen in me. Ilahumma Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, apart from anyone else, you didn't believe in anyone else, you didn't ask help from anyone else, your noose was around the neck, or the knife was there, and the person was trying to attack you, and you say, Allah, forgive me, Allah, I believe in you, Allah, take me out of this place, Allah, help me, call out. And where does that person go? He goes to the musalla. He went to salah, jai namaz, nafal salah. So when he stood, and the first sajda he did, the first prostration, he saw from far that, do you understand, like somebody's coming, like he saw the dust brewing up from the ground, that somebody's coming, like a storm was brewing. And secondly, he saw a person, powerful, energetic, handsome, on a horse, and in his hand he had the spear, and he's coming with speed on the horse, and it wasn't like you'd stop him for a second, he's coming straight with his spear, and he came, and he went to that bandit, and he struck it in his heart, and he died. And this happened within a second. To that person, he was free from the sajda, and everything had already occurred. What he saw in his sajda, it had already occurred physically. So he had this yaqeen. So when a person goes towards Allah, his yaqeen is elevated, increased, otherwise he'll never go. So at the time of death, a person forgets everything, all the people around him, standing around him, praying, and the dunya, he forgets, and he comes to Allah suddenly. But that person, when he saw that bandit, and he grabbed his feet, he said that, you helped me, oh savior, what a good man you are. You're so great, you came to my help. Amazing, I didn't even speak to you, I didn't even think about you, and you came to my rescue. You saved me from this man, who sent you? And he says, that person sent me, who you called out to in your sajda. Did you just forget now, you're in sajda, you call it, Allah sent me. Allah, so why are you saying thank you to me? That you should be grateful to Allah for the rest of your life. And so he saved his life, and he went back. to his locality. So this event was written as a nasiha, advice, beautiful event, that look here, we get scared. We start shaking. We don't have yaqeen in Allah. That Allah is the one who will take us out of the problem. We run left, right, this brother, this person, her, this and that. Help me, do this for me, advise me. But Allah Ta'ala says, I have given you the hal, the solution. Come direct to me. Allah Ta'ala says, become my servant, sincere, and I'll solve your issues. And when you create that solid connection with Allah, and you're close to Allah, you're His friend, you talk to Allah, you consult with Allah and ask for advice, then you follow Allah's advices. For example, you have a problem, you understand, this is a test for me. Allah sent this as a test for me. Allah Ta'ala wants to give me higher rank and a higher status. He wants to elevate me and He wants to test me now. Then suddenly, what should you do? Do tawbah, turn to Allah. Allah, I made a mistake. I've definitely done something wrong. Allah, forgive my sins. And then start going back on the straight line. Make your salah better again. Make your dhikr strong again. If you've got a wali of Allah as a friend, take his company. Do tawbah from the sins. And put your life on the track straight. Inshallah, the rest of your life will be pure bliss. And you'll be successful in the test and all your problems will disappear. Guaranteed. Because Allah Ta'ala says that problems and difficulties come to a mu'min to bring him higher and closer to Allah. Make his iman stronger. Allah gives problems. Allah gives difficulties. Allah gives disasters. Allah gives issues. The person who gets scared, he runs away from the path and goes into the darkness, into the wilderness. So brothers, let's do dua to Allah, and we should strive and make steps and make your yaqeen strong with Allah. The dhikr of Allah, we should do it. We should make effort, run to Allah, increase your yaqeen for Allah, increase your iman for Allah, because then this dunya will become good for us and the hereafter will become good for us. May Allah Ta'ala, let's do dua that Allah Ta'ala gives me and you the ability to elevate and strengthen the iman so we can make effort continuously. Ameen. And dhikr is the azim action, the best action Allah Ta'ala has given to us as a solution. It's the dhikr of Allah. It's easy, it's not hard. It doesn't give us difficulty. It's peace and contentment and satisfaction and happiness. Allah says, I love this action the most, that when you do this action, you get close to me, you become happy, content and peaceful. And today what you are, when you do dhikr, you'll get better tomorrow and the next day. And the next day you get higher and higher and higher. There's no issue. You don't need to make any strong effort for this. Allah says, you don't need to make any study or effort. And Naqshbandi silsila is very easy. You don't have to speak much. You don't have to say much verbally. You stay quiet. And it's stated that person who doesn't get benefit from the silence of his sheikh, he will not get benefit from anything else of his sheikh. This is how much silence there is in the Naqshbandi silsila. In this order of teaching, silence is a massive asset. That if you sit with silence in the gathering of wali wala, oh, I'm going there to listen or to talk, you don't need to speak. Naqshbandi silsila promotes silent dhikr and remembrance. Sit in the company of the sheikh silently and do Allah, Allah, Allah in your heart, and take the fares, the blessings from the teacher. Imagine, you don't need to listen to speeches and lectures. This is mashallah, because we're here and we do a little bit of discussion. We don't need to do this, alhamdulillah. The main thing is dhikr. Dhikr for which we come and we're present. This is just a taster, a warm up, little bit of salt on the dish, on the curry, to make it a bit of tasty. Because there are different types of people who come. Some people say, you're not talking, you don't give bayan. So I get a bit of introduction. There is benefit in this chat, in the discussion, in talking. People come and they listen and understand. And there's a methodology that we discuss and share and learn from. But the murids, the students, in reality, who already have entered into the silsila, they will get more benefit from the silence as opposed to the speech. So don't speak too much. Don't expect discussion. We want the sheikh to talk to us. And if he gives us the sheet, we'll give the sheet and say, Hazrat, these are my deeds, and can we talk about this? And let's talk about other things. You presented your deeds, and then the dua comes from the sheikh to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the end of the story. And if you are successful with your silence, then what do you need to do with discussion and speeches? But there's one point. Have the sohbat. If in the day 10 times is dhikr, then 10 times have the sohbat of the teacher. 10 times attend the majlis. In every majlis, Allah has given dhikr the opportunity. In every majlis of dhikr, insan should sit with yaqeen, and his yaqeen, I tell you, will increase massively. Massively. The difference will come to his worship, his heart, he'll feel good, his thinking will start to become good, pious, straightforward thinking, not contaminated, wrong thinking. He'll decrease his fraud, he won't break the trust and rights of other people, he won't cheat other people, he won't defraud other people. His iman will feel beautiful and enjoyment, and with a nice way. He won't go towards beating people, fighting people, arguing with people. This is not power. What is tarbiyah? Peace, aman, satisfaction, contentment in the heart, and he becomes a great human being and an asset for the society and human beings. He becomes a useful person. He becomes a person who will improve the lives of other people. When a Muslim improves his iman, his yaqeen, remembers Allah, gets close to Allah, he becomes an asset for mankind. Today, the day and age we're living in, we have all different types of, the qiyamah is coming close. And we are going further from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's day and age, then we see fitna is increasing in the world. And this day and age today, the most severe, desperate thing we need is dhikr of Allah. I'm telling you, brothers, understand what I'm saying. Hazrat Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, so many decades ago, said in Africa that today we are desperate. And look, mashallah, how many wise he used to give and speeches and bayans, and he used to go on tabligh and jamaat. And he said in his final days that today the desperate essential thing we need in society is that we are very close to the days of fitna. And the thing that will save us today is what? The dhikr of Allah. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah said this. And the person who takes the shelter from the fort and the castle of dhikr and sits in the majalis with good niyyah, good sincere intention, that I want to save myself from fitna and the sins so deen can come into me, and have iman and yaqeen, and tomorrow when I go into the grave, my yaqeen is increased, and when maut comes to me, death, then I can compete with shaitan. I've got yaqeen in my heart. These are all important points. And a person who has worry for these things and concern that the time is to come and this is all about to come, then he doesn't see any path, any way out, any solution. There's only one solution: Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. Brothers, listen carefully to what I'm saying. Dhikr of Allah. So my brothers, don't be lazy in dhikr. Don't consider it small. Don't leave it, don't run away from it. How can you leave Allah and go somewhere else? Allah Ta'ala says that apart from me, there's no one else who can help you. And if you can find another God, then find him now. Allah says, you leave me and you go. And then the losses come in your life, problems come in your life, worries come in your life. Then you run back to me, Allah says. Then you come back to my dhikr. So that gap in between, why did you waste your time? Why are you wasting your time? And you're waiting for the problems. Hazrat Sahab said, my Shaykh rahmatullah, doesn't matter how bad your situation, what are the circumstances around you, the problems, you can't see no result positive, keep on doing dhikr of Allah. Keep on doing dhikr of Allah. Because you're on a journey and you're on the path of haq. And on that journey, that will take you to the haq destination, and eventually you'll get the destination. Don't look left and right on the way and look at the obstacles and the hurdles. And if you stop, then shaitan's customer you will become. Very few people are there who can come back when shaitan holds them. I tell you this. Because when shaitan makes you fall down into the ditch, he whispers in your ear, takes you to the empty tank, off the track, onto the slip road, then shaitan doesn't let you come back. He gives you a new punishment. Then Allah gives the punishment. Look here, I gave you the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim. I gave you my noor and the deen, and you came off it and you rejected it. So in this day and age, I know we work, we're busy, we're always working, we've got children, family, home, we're busy. I know this. I'm aware of this. You know your circumstances. I know my circumstances. But at least let's do this. Alhamdulillah. How many majalis do we have? 14 in a week. Mornings, evenings, etc. So it's the fadl of Allah. 14 in the week. Morning and evening. Times 7. So at least out of the 14, come to one gathering. Make a promise that from today, this week, this day's gathering, this time I will attend. Make this promise that one gathering out of the 14, you can select that. Select that gathering, and then you'll see the kamal of that gathering in your life. When your life is being taken out of your body, that majlis will help you. The time of death, Allah says, Fabiha, that you are the selected people. And those who come 14 out of 14, who come, who strive, and come to all of the gatherings, they are here. MashaAllah, they're here. They're in the evening, this child, he's here. And he doesn't leave one majlis, this child. Not one. How shamed we should be. He sits at the front, morning, evening, night. If I call him, he'll come in the night time. Allah Ta'ala has put love in his heart. He's a child, young boy. He's here. All of the 14 majlis. How we should be ashamed. I'm not speaking strictly or telling off. I'm just speaking out of love that we should be ashamed, isn't it? We have opportunities that little kids and children and youth, they come and sit. He sits in front of me and he does dhikr of Allah with desire. And our lives are passing, we're old, we listen to everything, we don't even come to the gathering. So out of 14, if you can select one gathering in the week and put this fixed in your diary, that this gathering I'm not going to leave in the week. Yaar. That hopefully you will come 14 out of 14, because this is with regards to my akhirah, your akhirah, our hereafter. What's in coming to 14? These are the gatherings of dhikr, 14. How many times do you eat in a week? Tell me, how many times? Huh? How many times do you eat in a week? that your teeth have become worn out, chickens and meat. Your teeth are worn out. Take, you eat Allah Ta'ala's food so much, and out of 14 we come only one gathering. Is this justice? And we eat so many times a week, and we say, Allah give me Jannah, hoors and maidens, and bliss and enjoyment, and bridge of Sirat, and let me fly across here because I'm Ashik of Rasul. Is this ishq? We don't even attend the majlis. What a weird ishq. Allah Ta'ala's majlis is running, and you are running away from it. You can't come to do dhikr and recite Durood Sharif. What kind of ashik am I? What a fraud I'm committing. This is called fraud. Fraud. Cheating. Shaitan has defrauded us. He put us into the ditch. I call myself an ashik, and the gathering of Durood Sharif, and I'm not there. Can it ever be that the candle is burning and the moth doesn't come to the candle? Can it ever be the light is there and the moth or the butterfly doesn't come? They run into the fire and get burnt, their wings burn. So if the Durood is being recited, Noor is spreading. Rasulullah ﷺ's Durood, and the ashik sleeping, snoring at that time. Oh, I can't get up at that time. It's difficult for me to stay up. What kind of ishq is this? This is deception. This is fraud. This is a cheating. Wake up, brothers, wake up. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, His majlis such, the angels come from the heavens to the earth. There are more than 100 hadith about the circumstances around the gathering of dhikr. What's happening between the heavens and the earth? No, let's go to the arsh. Around Allah's arsh, go to the arsh. Above the arsh, to Allah you go. And Allah has mentioned in the hadith what's happening from here to Allah. Allah says, I also create a gathering. When you're doing my dhikr, Allah says, I also create a gathering. And then what happens? Then there's a straight connection from that gathering to our gathering. Such a connection, Allah says, that I do your dhikr in my gathering, Allah says. Allah says, you're doing my dhikr. And Allah says, I do your dhikr in my gathering. Imagine. So we're sitting in dhikr now. So this majlis now, the reflection, the reward is happening now in Allah Ta'ala's surroundings. I can't remember now. Approximately, I said, this many, 14 in a week, but maybe we do more than this. May Allah increase this. This is the dua we should do. We are broken down. Get there to where the majlis is. Where's the majlis today? There? Okay, I'm going to get there. You travel there. Allah will ask that you didn't even understand one majlis. And you used to make a fuss and complain. And you didn't have time. You said, I'm tired. And you're thinking about success. Allah said, I said straightforward. Whoever remembers me, I will give success to that person. Allah will ask us in the day of judgment, if you love me and the Prophet, Allah will say, then if you loved us most verily, you would have sat and done my dhikr. And the angels, look, this is the ashik of the Prophet Muhammad. And we run around crying and complaining. Well, we should have been reciting durood and doing dhikr. So is there anyone who can give us this success? Let's make the promise. Call yourself. Make promise to yourself. Make the promise to your nafs. I eat 3 chapatis, and I eat this many chickens in a week, and I burp on my food, and I eat this much fruit in the morning and evening, and I eat whenever I want, go to the fridge when I want. But the Rabb who's given me all this food and all these ni'mas, I run from His dhikr. I don't feel like sitting down. If there's a muhsin who's favored me, if there's a friend of mine who's given me a favor, and I don't even repay the favor, I don't even look back at him after that and run away from him, how sad he will feel. And you'll feel ashamed. And then when you come into a problem and you're desperate for his help again, will he help you again? Again you get stuck in a problem. That how will I face him now when I didn't thank him in the first place? Will you not feel ashamed? You'll say, you're an ungrateful person. Immodest, you didn't remember me when I favored you so many times before, and you were Chaudhary Saab, and you thought you came out of the problem, it was due to your efforts, and you started laughing, and you didn't accept me or appreciate the help I gave you. So imagine when we turn to Allah after doing this. Allah said, I gave you so many ni'mas, so many rewards, so many things in the life. Allah says, to this extent that you will be in difficulty and problem, you call to me and I will remove your problems. Did Allah not say this in the Quran? Allah Ta'ala says, come to me, attach yourself to me, I will forgive you. But we, when it's time, when we're desperate, then we run and cry, Allah, Allah, help me. Allah will ask that, don't you feel ashamed? You come to me now. Where were you at the time when everything was smooth and hunky-dory? And that time will come quickly. Yes, how quickly? That if you will, for example, go and sleep, and when you get up in the morning, you will feel, when we get up in the from death, death will come like sleep in the night, and then we'll get up. And it'll be like, oh, I just went to sleep, and I just got up for morning for breakfast. That's the length of the life that we're living in this world. So this is a very, very, very valuable majlis. And a person who leaves this majlis is a fool, and is disastrous. Have courage. Make effort, even if you have to travel for miles, run here, sweat here. This is the gathering for my hereafter, and I'm going to get akhirah from this gathering, dunya and akhirah. Let me sit half an hour, 45 minutes, and remember Allah. It's not hard, and I'm grabbing you to become, someone's becoming a murid, or there's charities being asked from you, or money, or chanda. No, that here is silence. This gathering is hinged on silence. Then Allah Ta'ala's Quran, the verses, they come out of our mouths. After that, they're silenced. Then we send the durood on beloved Rasulullah. We go to our homes and there's nothing else to it. Is there anything else to it? Is there a hidden catch? Is there a P.E. trying to grab people and make them stuck in a trap and deceive them? Nothing. I don't know you. You don't know me. We don't know each other. We know each other for one reason. You are dhakir and I'm a dhakir. And this is our relationship. And this is our friendship. And this is our connection. And this is the connection we'll have in the akhirah, inshallah. We'll all be standing under the flag of the dhakirin. And we'll say, Kemcho, how are you? Do you remember me? Oh, where do you come from? Oh, mashallah, saw you on the earth. Saruche, maje maje. How are you doing? Oh, big show. And we used to sit together, remember, in the dunya and did dhikr. And there's that majlis now, everyone's detached and we're all here sitting. How much we'll enjoy in the hereafter, isn't it? Meeting each other, congratulating each other, isn't it? Good. So strong promise. You make a promise, make the promise in your heart. At least one, but one's not enough. At least three a week. Make a promise, three a week, yeah? Tomorrow there's a majlis. Come tomorrow evening, Friday evening, Saturday, here on the Sunday evening, morning, Wednesday, Allah Ta'ala's Fadl, as long as it goes, and when it stops, it will stop. So take the benefit now. Because if it stops, this is Allah's Nizam. When He stops, when the doors close, then 30 majalis can be finished. Allah Ta'ala's choice. When they start, Allah Ta'ala keeps on opening and opening and opening. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala looks at the desire and the thirst of my creation. Do they love dhikr? Or are they appreciating my dhikr? Allah Ta'ala says, are they really appreciating this action? Are they promoting themselves, progressing, improving? If they were qadr, then Allah progresses the person. When Allah says, they're making a fuss, complaining, I don't have time, Allah will take the Quran. Do you know, before Qiyamah, the Quran will go, Kaaba will go, everything will go. Allah says, these people don't appreciate. Forget Quran. In between them and me is nothing left, Allah says, nothing. Allah says, pick this up, remove this, nothing will be left. And just the people will be there eating and drinking in the dunya. And when a person doesn't take what Allah Ta'ala's ni'mas Allah gives, then Allah removes the ni'mas. Then after Allah Ta'ala puts the love in their heart, then they get the punishment. Then 30, 40 miles they have to go. 30 miles, 40 miles, Allah will make you go and do dhikr here. 25 miles, 30 miles, they go and do dhikr there. Because Allah Ta'ala says, give them punishment, so they realize that when dhikr was in their homes, they didn't appreciate. And now they'll see the solution, the go, you have to travel. We thought it was a game. Dhikr was a waste of time. Oh, it's happening every day. I don't need to attend. So this is all happening in the dunya. Everybody knows. You know, I know. I'm watching. Allah Ta'ala says, everything's happening. Allah Ta'ala takes dhikr from here, takes from here. Somebody loses their iman. Allah Ta'ala takes from here and puts here. Takes here, puts here. This is all based on Allah's hikmah. Revolves on Allah's hikmah. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say, this is guaranteed here forever. No, the question is, if it's not here, it'll go somewhere else. If not somewhere else, somebody else. Allah Ta'ala says, I go along with the desire of my makhluk. Wherever the makhluk loves me, I put the dhikr there for them to remember me. Where the love ends in the heart and food comes, and dunya comes, and transactions come, and business comes, then Allah removes dhikr from there. Then Allah says, see where in the world people love me. And then straight away Allah Ta'ala will create the effect of His dhikr in that place. Where did dhikr come from? How did dhikr start again? Allah, the dhikr will start in that place, in that locality. So here, majlis, mashallah, here, they were dead. We should appreciate them, me and you. May Allah Ta'ala not make us lose out from these gatherings. They are great, great gift of Allah. Great, great gift. Wa akhiru dawana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite Durood Sharif.